Jay from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerd, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Caddick.
How you doing, Darren?
Doing good, John. Doing good. It's a, it's a rainy Sunday afternoon. We're recording this. Calm Sunday, the Lord's Day. And I got my laptop finally fixed, up and running. The same laptop that almost destroyed the podcast.
That's true. That's true. That the laptop that resulted in the great lost episode 122.
That's right. It is up and running, and so we're all good here. Like, we have this laptop. I have a backup laptop thanks to my parents and my sister. So, like, we'll, listeners, that I can promise you that will never happen again. A lost episode due to some technical glitch on my end. We are good to go. This podcast is running full steam, baby. Choo-choo!
Okay.
Sorry, I'm so pumped.
You are pumped.
Mm-hmm. Pump up the jam.
I mean, I'm excited too, because Chet Hanks declared that it's going to be White Boy Summer, so I'm gearing up for that.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad White Boys are finally getting some love, you know?
Finally. I mean, they've had it too tough for too long. You guys are getting your moment in the sun.
Yep.
But, you know, hopefully you don't stay out too long in the sun, because, you know, you guys need suntan lotion.
That is true. We burn very easily.
Yeah. So your few moments in the sun before you have to go underneath a shady tree or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So. God bless. I didn't even know you follow Chet Hanks. Do you follow him? Or you?
No. I just saw White Boy Summer trending and people talking about Chet Hanks for some reason on social media. I do not follow Chet Hanks.
I don't know.
I'm not generally dying to be like, what's Chet Hanks's take on this?
Dude, I don't know if you get, like, I don't know if you follow him, or maybe you get direct emails or texts from him. I don't know.
Could be honest. God, I don't think I could take that. No, I don't. No.
You don't get texts and tweets from Chet Hanks? Like, hey, yo, brother man, what's up, y'all? Chet Hanks.
I don't think I could take that. No.
No diggity. It's Chet Heasy. What?
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Is that how he talks? I'm just...
Yeah, probably. That seems like... Yeah.
I could see that. I could totally see that. All right, wow. Well, I guess we're trying to talk about almost anything other than last night's episode.
Yeah, last night's episode of SNL, it was Maya Rudolph hosting, Jack Harlow musical guesting. It was season 46, episode 15 from March 27th, 2021. And,
Yeah, I guess we're gonna let the cat out the bag a little bit. Yeah, this episode was,
It was not good, you guys.
Yeah, okay, all right. Usually
we don't discuss an episode before we start recording, but this episode actually prompted me to text you at about 12:30 last night. And the text exchange goes as follows: "Holy fuck, this episode, man!" I was just like, I just have to share my pain with someone.
Yeah, like, and I don't know if it was that one sketch that did it, that broke you, that had you tweet me, or was it like leading up to it, or what? But like, was that sketch?
It was kind of the culmination. Like... But yeah, that's the sketch that was airing at the time. That was the choreographer sketch, and I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna get into it, guys. And like, you know, like, as you know, we don't like to be negative in any way. We try to look for the positive. But I mean, if an episode isn't good, we gotta call it out. And yeah, this episode, I don't know what happened. It was Maya Rudolph hosting, and you know,
yeah.
She's,
which I mean, SNL, that's a good thing.
Yeah, SNL royalty, a legend in the biz. So we all thought, oh, she's going to be in good hands. She's going to be able to steer this ship. And I don't know what, like, there were more sketches in this show that I did not care for than I thought possible. It was like, yeah. I mean, there were a few things I did like. I will admit, you know, I'll try to be a little positive. There were some strong things that I thought were funny that I got some genuine laughs out of me. But for the most part, I was like, wow, there's a lot of not good in this. episode.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right.
Yeah.
So should we dive in?
Yeah. Okay. Let's dive in. Let's do it.
Let's begrudgingly dive in.
Let's get through this thing.
It's not even a diving in. We're like slowly walking into like a pool. We're just like,
we're dipping our toes in, and then we're like, oh no, that does not feel good. But oh shit. Okay. So the cold open, we had a MTV Spring Break. It was a game show, Snatched, Vaxxed, or Waxxed. The game show for hot infectious singles.
Yeah, so this is basically a play in on Miami Beach, Florida, mm-hmm. and how like that's overrun with college dudes and bros and gals who don't really care about the fact that we're living through a pandemic. They just want to party on the beach and
right.
get all laid.
The party don't stop until the government mandated curfew.
Ha!
Yeah.
Yes, and of course we have right at the top Maya Rudolph, the host. In the cold open,
that's kind of unusual these days that we see the host in the cold open. But apparently, this wasn't originally intended as the cold open. Like one of the sketches we're getting later on in the night was the original cold open, so this was moved up.
Yeah, I mean, it really shows too. I mean, for one thing, this sketch is only 4 minutes long, and for a cold open, that is pretty short.
Yeah,
like, I don't think it's been a long time since I've seen a cold open that short.
I know, we've gotten very used to them being like 7 or 8 minutes long, because usually it's like some political thing of the day, this was not. I mean, outside of just dealing with the whole COVID of it all.
Right, so Maya Rudolph is the host. She's saying, hey, thanks for coming to the game, Snatched, Vaxxed, or Waxxed.
The premise of the game show, they have to guess which the contestants are. If they're snatched, right. vaxxed, or waxed. What did the snatched mean?
Like their bodies are tight.
Right. Oh, okay. Tight. Okay.
Yeah. And it's like basically like a playoff of that where, you know, a person like Chloe Fineman comes out saying she's from the University of High School. And like, and the guys have to guess if she is snatched, gotten the vaccine, or she waxed.
Yeah, and Kyle Beck and Chris Red are the contestants. I liked the Chloe's line. She said she was on the Florida Adderall or meth.
Right, yeah.
And let's see, and we had Ego and Heidi as the other contestants.
Right. I think Heidi mentioned that her name was Lego and she can't wear a mask because it irritates her cold sores.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, of course, they mentioned how the show is brought to you by Spirit Airlines with $10 flights to Miami.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I've never taken Spirit Airlines, but I heard nothing but horrible things about it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just shorthand for horrible airline.
Right. I mean, this sketch was kind of old. I don't have too many notes just because the sketch was, like, all over the place.
Neither really. Do I. There was an interesting moment towards the end where they had like a siren towards the end to like indicate like the end of gameplay. And Maya, as the host, says like, oh, you know what that siren means. And then Beck's character goes, oh yeah, that means I'm actually a cop and I have to go on duty. And that was like just dead silence from the audience. No response whatsoever. And I thought that was weird.
That was awkward. I was,
yeah.
Yeah. That got nothing like,
it. Yeah.
It, I don't know. Yeah, this sketch was just kind of all over the place. They're just like kind of
very low energy, not a whole lot of audience response. I just felt very on this whole together.
Yeah, I mean, Maya did what she could. She tried to pump it up. It was very colorful. I'll give it that.
The set design was impressive. The set design and the costuming, I thought that was good. I just didn't really think the writing was there.
Yeah, and I mean, we also had Melissa Villaseñor come out as a reggaeton, I guess Little Pump or like a reggaeton rapper singer, and
mm-hmm.
they had dancers come out. It was colorful and loud, but wasn't quite funny, really.
Say that. And funny seems like an element you would like to have in a comedy sketch.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm no comedy writer, you know, but I'm no Gloria Zellwig, but like I would think that there should be some humor in a comedy show. Like it was just like a big old bunch of fireworks. It's colorful, loud, and a few jokes here and there that was just like,
Yeah.
That could have been worked on a little bit more.
Yeah. So, but it, you know, it was getting off to a strong start. And
But it was short. So I'll give it,
it was that. Short. So we'll give it that. So, you know, way to get in and out in 4 minutes, guys. Next, we had the Maya Rudolph monologue. Comes out basically dressed as Wednesday Addams. Has a little short bob, a little dress thing happening. She looked good, well, but it was very Wednesday Addams-esque.
What? I didn't even think of that. Damn, son. That's good. That's real good.
She said, you know, this year it's been a real kick in the clam, which, yeah, you know, no lies detected. Mm-hmm. And she said that all four of her kids were there. And she says, yeah. Mommy's going to be wearing a lot of wigs and doing a lot of weird voices. So it'll be like a typical day at home, only I'll be wearing a bra.
Oh, that's so sweet. But yeah, then she gets into the fact that, you know, oh yeah, it was as most of you know, I used to be a cast member here, and this, you know, this place holds a lot of memories for me. And, you know, now that I'm an elder vet of SNL, I want to impart some words onto the young new cast members. So let's bring them out. So out come Dismukes, Punky, and Lauren.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's like kind of giving words of wisdom to
them. She's mentoring them.
Yes.
And she's not calling by the correct names, but the thought was there.
Yeah, she refers to Andrew, Punky, and Lauren as Chirpy, Little Dee Dee, and Callista Vagina.
Mm-hmm. And she mentions that she started on SNL in the year 2000. She says to Andrew, how old were you in 2000? He says, I was 5, and she immediately sends him away.
I laughed at that. I got a good laugh at that.
Yeah, that was cute. That was cute.
And I looked it up. It is true. Andrew Dismukes was born in 1995.
I was pretty sure that was accurate. He seems like a youngish guy, so.
Yeah, so like when I was graduating high school, he just got here in this world.
I would have been a year out of college, so.
Ugh.
I'm so very old.
So very old.
But, you know, so Maya's talking about how she started and how Rachel Dratch was a princess with her red hair and her freckles. And Jimmy was the bad boy with his jean jacket and his fingerless gloves. And there was the jock who was Emilio Estevez.
Right. It's becoming very apparent as she talks about the old days. Her memory's a little fuzzy, and she's getting it mixed up with the Breakfast Club movie.
Right.
And at one point, Lauren corrects her, say, hey, I think you're talking about the Breakfast Club. To which Maya turns to her and says, oh, Callista, I hope you're funny, because you're very stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that line. That got a laugh out of me, too.
Yeah, you know, she talked about how, you know, Jimmy put his fist up in the air and then froze in place, and then hundreds of names ran across his. It was okay. It didn't thrill me, but
right. Yeah. Like, this monologue kind of reminded me of like when Steve Martin would be on the show, mm-hmm. and he would like talk to the new staff, you know, about the old days and whatnot, and he would be kind of like playfully, lovingly condescending to the cast. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a lot of Steve Martin vibes throughout this monologue. Like, that line, like I said, where Maya said, oh, I hope you're funny because you're very stupid. That seems like something Steve Martin would have said.
I could see him saying that line, yes. Yes, absolutely. And then, you know, at the end of the monologue, Maya lied and said they had a great show. So, I feel very betrayed by that line because not true.
Oh, listeners, this episode is going to be hot. I can tell already. It's going to be a hot one.
Anything else to say about the monologue?
No, it did, like, that Andrew Dismukes part and mm-hmm. the line that I mentioned about, you know, Callista Vagina, those, I got genuine laughs out of those, so for that,
I do like the name Callista Vagina.
It's a good name.
It's a good name. That's a good funny name.
I mean, if there's like a drag queen or a porn star that wants to use it, I say snatch it up.
I think both should use it. I think we need as much Callista Vagina in the world as possible.
I've been saying that for years.
Yes.
So I'll give this monologue a thumbs up because it did get some good laughs out of me.
Yeah.
Next up, we got the Hot Ones.
Hot Ones with Beyonce. Apparently, this was written by Streeter Seidel and Mikey Day.
Right.
It featured Mikey as host Sean Evans. You know, this, by the way, in case you don't know, this is a real show. This like started out as a YouTube show, and I think it became an actual broadcast show. I don't know on what channel or anything, but
yeah, I was actually going to ask you that. Like, were you familiar with this show? Because I have watched this show. I actually like this show quite a bit. So I didn't know if you were familiar with it or not.
I'm familiar with it. I haven't watched much of it. I mean, it's basically like celebrities eating increasingly hotter hot wings and then answering questions as they go.
Right. And I don't know. I get a kick out of it. You definitely get to see maybe you get to see like celebrities kind of let their guard down a little bit and you get like a little bit more honest answers.
Uh-huh.
Just because I guess they're in pain from eating hot sauces such as Hitler's anus and Devil's Diarrhea.
Right. Which there were two of the hot sauces that they had on the show.
Right. But the show has gotten like some big names to do it. Like Paul Rudd did it and Scarlett Johansson. And
uh-huh.
Like, so I dug the show. So like, as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, Hot Ones. All right.
And yeah, then of course I guess here it was basically like, oh, you know, can you, like someone like Beyonce would not normally do this show. So I think it was just kind of the juxtaposition there.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, so they have Maya Rudolph as Beyonce doing this show, eating hot wings. And of course, I mean, I don't know if this sketch, I mean, for one thing, I thought the sketch was a little too long. It's like 6 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of doesn't really go anywhere too interesting.
I don't think they had too much beyond the initial premise on this one. I mean, it was like, you know, she bites into the first wing and has kind of a delayed reaction to it. And they're like, well, we've got ice water and you know, milk for you to cool off your throat. And she says, I'm not going to drink a big glass of milk on camera. And, you know, and then she starts sweating and she says her throat closes up.
Yeah, I mean, this is like one of those sketches where it kind of relies heavily on Maya Rudolph just kind of adding more to it. And just
it's basically a performance-driven sketch.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, she did what she could, but it just, I don't know, it just didn't really seem to go anywhere. And it was just kind of, I was just kind of muddling through it. At one point, Ego comes out as Beyonce's publicist.
Yeah.
Saying, like, I don't remember.
Beyonce says, like, she brings on Keenan as her hairstylist, and she says, I want you to take my wig off, put 6 ice cubes on my head, and then put the wig back on. She requests that a few times. And then the publicist says, like, I don't want any footage of her wig being taken off.
Right. And then I think Sean says, oh, we can just cut it out. And then Ego says, no, we're not, you know, I don't want footage of her without her wig on.
Right.
And then Beyonce, you know, played by Maya Rudolph, is like, no, I'm okay, I can go on. And then they just leave, and then they just keep going on. And, like, that part really didn't add anything.
Well, and then they just end the entire thing. They have, like, her, you know, one of her people come on saying, like, okay, we're pulling the plug on this, and we're destroying all the footage, and everyone's signing an NDA, and...
Yeah, like it just, I don't know. It's a simple enough premise where
mm-hmm.
there could be something there, but they're just, I don't know. I'm trying to be constructive. Like it just didn't, like I said, it really didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was just, they're just kind of repeating, you know, like I'm doing now. It's like kind of repeating the same beats of how hot the wings are and how sweaty she is. And it just was kind of meandering.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really send me. I mean, it just, you know, beyond the, you know, can you imagine Beyonce actually doing this show? I don't think there was much there, you know?
Yeah. We think it would look a little something like this.
Yeah. It does kind of seem like something in the middle of some hacky stand-up routine.
Yeah, like... Yeah, can you imagine Jack Nicholson at a grocery store?
And this kind of surprised me. I was kind of surprised to see on Twitter that it was Streeter and Mikey Day, because I usually love their sketches. I think they're, you know, some of the best writers that they're on SNL right now. But you know, everybody can have an off day.
Yeah, you know, they can't slam dunk everything.
Yeah. So you know, sorry this didn't really work for me. So next we had a pre-taped segment, a musical number, Boomers Got the Vax. just a rap all about how baby boomers are getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
This was written by Streeter Seidel, Mikey Day, and Chris Redd.
Ooh.
So.
And it's, yeah, basically about that. Again, this sketch really kind of hits on the same beat over and over again, where it's like all of them dressed as older boomers. You know, they talk about how, we crashed the economy 3 times. We voted for Trump because of the taxes. And we think COVID's a hoax, but we're still the first ones in line to get vaccines.
Yeah, this one kind of grew on me when I watched it again this morning. I thought it worked well because I think it had some sharp edge to it with, kind of going after the boomers.
Yeah. That part I enjoyed. I mean, the song's catchy. And I did start to get like a little angry when I watched it because I was like, oh yeah, there are people out there doing that. Those motherfuckers. like I felt, I got riled up.
It like engaged you. You got...
Yeah.
I was like, you got radicalized watching this sketch.
I think I did.
Another interesting thing about this sketch, which I just discovered this morning, was Ego. Noatum appeared as Edith Puthie, who was a character that she played in the season premiere with Chris Rock.
Yeah, they brought that character out for that little part.
I didn't realize that until Ego tweeted about it today. Because, I don't know, I didn't. That was back in October, and time has no meaning anymore. So,
exactly.
You know, is it about to be Easter? Is it about to be Halloween? I have no idea.
Yeah, what day is it? What year is it?
Who the hell knows?
How old am I? What is time?
I don't know. But she was in a sketch from the season premiere with Chris Rock called Super Spreader Event, which was where she was a character at the name change office named Edith Puthie. Didn't remember this at all, but, I thought I thought this worked okay.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I mean, it was catchy little song. Like you said, it's good that they're taking shots at boomers. I always when they kind of take shots at everybody, like when they make fun of millennials or, millennials and boomers equally. As a Gen Xer, that delights me.
Yeah. Yes. Because as Gen Xers, we just want to watch the world burn.
We do. We really do. I did laugh at that one part where Mikey Day kind of lists off the things he has. Like, he has these houses and he has, all this money. And then he says, and I think somebody mentions like, hey, what about your wife? Oh, she left me. And then it's like a real awkward pause.
Yes.
As far as pre-tapes goes, this one's okay, I guess, but it's not.
Yeah,
still not like
I thought it was okay.
Still doesn't quite hit like I want.
No, but it grew on me. It grew on me. You know, I thought it was all right. I think it's solid. I think in a better show, it would have been better. You know.
Yeah, fair enough.
So. Next we had Kamala, which is a message from Vice President Kamala Harris.
This was supposed to be the cold open, if I'm not
mistaken. Yes.
And like when I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, this definitely was supposed to be the cold open because A, it's political.
Mm-hmm.
B, it has a celebrity cameo.
Which makes much more sense to put that in the cold open.
Right. And C, it had the thing that does with a lot of the cold opens where it has like random people coming in and like, having their few lines in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like 7 minutes long. So I was like, oh yeah, this was supposed to be the cold open. And sure enough, I looked online.
Yep.
This was supposed to be it, but it got changed at dress. I'm not quite sure why though. But...
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they just said like, oh, this isn't strong enough to start the show. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. Do you know? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't. Do you know?
Do you, the listener, know? No, you don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know why my voice got crazy high.
Who knows? I don't know.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
I don't know. We're losing our minds. What's happening?
I don't know. But, this was a Kamala Harris Unity Seder, which was just... Kamala and Martin Short making a surprise cameo as her Semitic smoke show, Doug Emhoff.
Yeah, and it's them kind of celebrating Seder and having, of course, a lot of people pop in. Of course, mm-hmm. we have A.D. Bryant as Ted Cruz for, I guess it was like the fourth or fifth time.
Something like that.
Then we have Chloe Fineman as Ella Emhoff, Doug's daughter, which I've never even heard of her, but I guess she's like
Yeah, I have no idea. I guess she's a thing.
I guess she's a thing. I guess she's like some Insta, Twitter influencer or whatever have you.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Look her up on Insta Twitter.
Sure.
Insta Twittergram. Then we have Raphael Warnock as played by Keenan. We got Alex Moffat as Joe Biden.
I still don't get the Joe Biden thing. Like, is that a thing that Kamala Harris does?
I think maybe it's one thing that maybe Kamala did once, maybe. And maybe, I guess, Maya thought that was funny enough to just run with it.
And I just think it's weird. I mean, maybe it's just, it just seems like it's something that she's grabbing onto because there's not a whole lot else to grab onto.
Yeah. It sounds like she's
Kamala Harris. Yeah,
it sounds like she's trying to make Joe Biden happen.
Yeah.
She's trying to make it a thing.
Yeah. It's like Fetch.
Exactly. Also, one thing I noticed at the beginning of this sketch, like when Maya came out as Kamala Harris, not a lot of applause when she came out. So I'm starting to think, oh, is this the moment where her coming out as Kamala, like the novelty's worn off? Is this where it's starting to get diminishing returns?
Well, I mean, like, it wasn't, you know, obviously it's not a surprise because she's hosting. So maybe that was all it was.
Maybe. I guess so. Like, I'm just trying to think, oh, just, you know, like how when we reached that moment where seeing Alec Baldwin come out as Trump wasn't, you know, new and fun anymore. It was actually
right.
Sure. I was like, I was thinking, it
was actually just, you know, vaguely depressing because like, it reminds us who the president is. And
exactly. So I was like, oh, have you reached that moment with Maya as Kamala? But I don't know. I could be wrong.
Could be. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, this sketch was, again, it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's kind of sloppy.
I liked that there was a line 80 as Ted Cruz, you know, she says like, my only crime is loving too much and sedition. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, that was good. I like how she brought over pigs in a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And like Kamala was saying, well, we can't eat pork or bread. So
yeah. Thank so thanks for that.
I mean, Martin Short. We had
Keenan come on as Raphael Warnock, the senator from Georgia.
Right. And then we're talking about, you know, what's going on in Georgia with, of course, all of these voter suppression laws they're passing.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, hey, do you see what's going, like, how is it going down in Georgia? And I think Raphael says, well, have you seen Roots? It's like that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer.
And we had Alec Moffat making another appearance as, or Alex Moffat, I should say, making another appearance as Joe Biden.
Right.
You know, how do you think is Joe Biden is coming along?
It's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a take. It's definitely a take. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, I got,
I don't feel like it's entirely crystallized yet. You know?
Yeah, but I think he's getting there. I think he's working on it. I mean, a lot of times, like, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be like a spot on impression in order to be a good impression. Sometimes you just need to sort of capture the essence of the person, or like the vibe of the person you're impersonating.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's entirely found the key for it yet, but I feel like it's okay. And honestly, I just love that we have a cast member playing a president because that's just such a novelty now.
Exactly. I was like, oh, somebody on the cast playing the president? Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. That's a way to go.
It's a choice.
What'd you think of Martin Short as Doug Emhoff?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's always lovely to see Martin Short. It seemed like there was a weird moment, like right at the end of the sketch, because I guess they needed a new way to end the sketch, because obviously they couldn't end it with Live from New York on Saturday Night, where he's just sort of has Maya in an embrace, and he said something to her, and I didn't write it down, I'm afraid, but
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, this is another reason why I say this sketch was kind of a mess, because it's like you said, because they swapped it out for the cold open, so they couldn't say the life for New York, so they didn't really have an ending for it. It just kind of ends. And of course, well, we're kind of skipping over this one point where Joe Biden brings in a dog.
Yeah, yeah. He brings in this dog, Major, who was sent back to... what's the town Biden's from? I'm blanking on the name.
The town from the office. What?
The town from the office.
Scranton.
Scranton, yeah. He was sent back to Scranton because, like, he attacked somebody in the White House.
Right, right. And then they, so they brought him back, and they said, oh, I see, he's a good dog. And then cut to the dog attacking Doug Emhoff, but they did this, like, weird cut where you know, you could tell, like, it's a fake stuffed dog that they threw onto Martin Short, and he has to act like it's a real dog, and he's, like, falling on the ground and wrestling. And the audience really doesn't react, if I remember.
It's like, no, I didn't. That didn't seem to go over in a big way.
Yeah, it's like, and then of course we have Cecily Strong coming in as Marjorie Taylor Greene coming in through the window.
Right, because you know if there's a crazy lady that we're gonna have Cecily play her.
Dude, she's played two crazy ladies.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Yeah.
She did double duty.
Yep.
This I don't know. This sketch was pretty sloppy. It was pretty messy.
Yeah.
And like we said, it just kind of just ends, and I don't know this.
It doesn't seem like you like this one too much.
No, honestly, you know what? Because like when I every Sunday when we do this, I rewatch the sketches on YouTube.
Yeah.
And as I was rewatching this sketch, because I was like, I gotta watch it for the podcast. As I rewatched the sketch on YouTube, the Wi-Fi in my place kind of went out for a bit.
And you were like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, it was. I was like, wow, even the computer doesn't want to see this. Even the computer's like, enough, I can't.
Oh, no, I'm punching out. No.
I just got fixed. and also, from what I've read, this sketch was written by Rudolph's longtime collaborator and best friend, Emily Spivey.
Oh, okay.
Which really boggles my mind, because like, yeah, this sketch was like, I don't know. It maybe just needs to be punched up a little bit more, because I mean, there is kind of something there. Like Kamala has a Jewish husband, and it is, you know, Palm Sunday and Passover just happened, so there is something there, but it just did not come together.
Yeah.
It was, oof. I guess 0-3 at this point.
Yeah, I guess so. If you're keeping score, we are 0-3. We had NFTs, which was written by Stephen Castillo, Pete Davidson, Chris Redd, and Dan Licata. This had Kate McKinnon as Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury. She's talking to a class. And then we have Pete Davidson as Eminem, dressed up as Robin, just like in his old Without Me video. And he just sings a song, you know, what the hell's an NFT?
All right, I got to ask you, have you ever heard of an NFT before this sketch? Because I have.
Yes, because I did see a thing like NFTs. It stands for non-fungible tokens. And I'm not going to say I understand NFTs, but here's what I know is it's like it's selling. You're selling the exclusive digital rights to like a piece of digital artwork, and some artists are making like huge amounts of money. Like one of my old teachers at the Hubert School actually made a ton of money through NFTs somehow. So
you're selling digital images for money.
Yeah. You're selling like exclusive rights to these digital images and. I mean, it sounds like it's like totally a thing that's gonna go bust.
Yeah, like is this like Getty Images? Is it like that, or I guess gonna...
not like Getty Images, because like with Getty Images, I know you're buying like just the temporary rights to it to use it for like an article or something like that. This is like you're selling exclusive rights somehow.
Okay.
But it's a piece of digital art, so I don't really get that. You're not doing anything physical. It's
Because, I mean, I was hoping the sketch would explain it. And, I mean, it kind of did. But all it made me want to do is listen to Eminem again. Like, that's
no,
another...
No, I 100% went and I was like, I want to rewatch the video for Without Me now. And I did.
And that's another thing. Like, why did they use Eminem's Without Me to explain? And because Without Me sounds like NFT. Is that the
reference? Yeah, I think it was just an easy thing to do. And, you know, they thought it would be funny to do Pete Davidson as Eminem again because they did that Stan parody earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Stan parody, that made sense because, like, you know, the song Stan is about a deranged fan writing Eminem. So you could slip that into, like, Christmas time and have a deranged fan write to Santa. That makes a little bit more sense than to have Eminem talking about NFTs. I was like, what?
Yeah. And then, you know, I didn't like Chris Redd showing up as Dr. Dre, and they said, like, are you Morpheus from The Matrix?
Oh, yeah. And it's like, oh, no, but I got some drugs.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was cute.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I don't know. Yeah. This,
Yeah.
I'm saying
this one did really send you.
Not really. Like, I mean, it kind of. I don't know. You discuss. Well, what did you think of it? You talk.
It sounds like I liked it more than you did. We should also mention it also had a cameo from Jack Harlow as a janitor who came in and explained it towards the end. But
right,
you know, so he rapped a verse.
Right. So like when he explained it, I understood it a little bit, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know if the goal of this was really to make you understand NFTs.
It was supposed to make me laugh and think, John.
I mean, I think it was basically just kind of expressing the confusion that most people have about these things.
Yeah, all right, I guess so, but I don't know, yeah, it still really didn't click for me. I was But I don't know. If you're a fan of Eminem, you're happy, so that's something.
Sure, sure. I mean, yeah.
Okay, wow, this episode's getting off to a roaring start.
You know, 0 for 4?
0 for 4, yeah.
0 for 4, okay.
Let's say that.
Next we had our musical guest for the week. We had Jack Harlow. His first number was a medley between Tyler Harrow and What's Poppin'. I like this. I thought this was good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Again, Jack Harlow, I'm not too familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he seemed like a pretty... you know, comfortable, apt dude on the microphone when he's...
He was apt.
Yes. MC apt.
MC apt.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was all right. I'm not too familiar with his stuff, but he seemed okay. He did a second song called Same Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And on that one, he had Adam Levine of Maroon 5 fame.
Yeah. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, I mean, that was more like pop, I guess. More pop.
Yeah, I didn't like the second number as much.
Because of Adam Levine, so you're right for that.
I'm not nuts about the Adam Levine. A little of him goes a long way.
It really does. He's he really loves himself.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But I mean, for the Jack Harlow performance, I didn't write down anything because I was like, oh, this is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't... I don't know if I'm gonna run out and buy his stuff, but I thought I was like, all right, he's okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right, okay, Forrest Gump. next we had Weekend Update with Colin Jost, Michael Che. The way this started out, I really felt like at the beginning. We had Colin Jost. It felt like more like he was just editorializing instead of telling jokes. Did you
a little bit? Actually, yeah. Like it felt a little bit more, maybe like Daily Show or
exactly. It felt like he was trying to be like do like a Jon Stewart thing, and
it, yeah.
I'm sorry, but he's no Jon Stewart.
Ooh, shots fired. Oh, speaking of shots, he was talking about guns. So, but yeah, I do get that vibe. Like in the beginning, he was talking about how they want to pass a bill doing background checks and how Well, instead of background checks, what about doing current checks? Why don't you check on these guys who are trying to get guns and, you know, check in on them saying, oh, have you DM'd a girl, hey, 30 times in a row?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't give them a gun or.
Yeah. You know. Like, you know, before, you know, like, do current checks, like ask the gun store has to talk to five people who thinks it's a good idea that you should own a gun. And it just wasn't really funny enough to get those points across, I thought.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It did seem, I mean, I know they try to steer away from being like too preachy, I guess, but I will admit, yeah, like in his opening, it did get into like the preachy lane just a little.
Yeah, it felt more preachy than funny to me.
Yeah, like when he's talking about how Republicans, are vetoing this bill trying to do background checks, and it's like, why don't you Republicans just admit that you like guns more than you like guns more than you like people you don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Then he showed pictures of all their political ads, and he said, oh, it looks like you're running for the president of ISIS.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it seemed more like, oh, this is, Jost is out for blood.
And yeah. And, you know, I get that there are strong feelings about this, and I generally agree with him about the gun control thing. It just didn't really send me in terms of funny.
Right. Yeah, no, I think Che, I mean, I thought for a weekend update, Che had some really good jokes this weekend update.
I really like Che's joke about, he said, you know, Virginia abolished the death penalty, so if you'll excuse me, I've got some white women to go whisk out. I really liked that.
I like the Instagram for kids joke he had. I like what's a good one? The other joke he had about Virginia, where he talks about how in Virginia, a school returned a wallet to a woman who lost it 70 years ago
right.
at the school gym. Well, how do you like that? Said a black man who was still in jail for stealing it.
Right, right.
That was like, oh, goddamn.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
But I will give Jost this. He did have that one good joke about Trump where he's talking about the rioters. At the Capitol attack, where he's saying the rioters weren't attacking, they were hugging and kissing the police. They weren't attacking the police, and it's no surprise that Trump doesn't know the difference between kissing and assault.
Yeah, that was a good line.
Yeah, I thought it was a good line. So he had some good stuff in there, but yeah, I will give that to you. Like at the top, it did seem a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't know. At the top, it just kind of put a bad taste in my mouth at the beginning, you know.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. So then our first correspondent, we had, again, Cecily Strong, second crazy woman of the night, mm-hmm. Sidney Powell,
yes.
Sued by Dominion.
Yeah. So, yeah, Sidney Powell is out there, and she's getting sued by Dominion because she said that the voting machines were rigged the election in favor of Joe Biden, and her defense is, no reasonable person could take me seriously, which...
Yeah.
Okay, good luck with that. lots of turkey gobbling in this.
Because she said her meemaw was a strong one from North Carolina, and her peepaw was a wild turkey from...
Right.
There's a lot of turkey gobbling in this. And...
Yeah. I mean, this was good. It's Cecily Strong playing a crazy lady in the news, so it's totally her lane.
Right. I mean, she plays crazy conservatives pretty well. And
yeah,
quite a bit.
I mean, that's like her go-to now. So, you know, and it's obviously something that speaks to her and works well for her. So,
yeah, she played like Kimberly Guilfoyle and that other correspondent on Fox News that I'm blanking on right now.
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, yeah, insane conservative. Give it to Cecily.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's what you do. That's what you do.
But yeah, I mean, this one was pretty short, her segment, but I dug this one. I got a few laughs out of it.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed it. And then we had another segment with Asian cast member Bowen Yang. That is literally how he was introduced. It was speaking about the recent rise of anti-Asian hate crimes. This segment was apparently written by Bowen, Celeste Kim, and Sudi Green.
Right. So when all that, still going on, all the the rise of the anti-Asian attacks were going on.
Yeah.
Like, a part of me did think, oh, is Bone going to say something about this on the show? Because I know he's been very vocal about it on like Instagram and Twitter. And like, and part of me was wondering, are they going to talk about it on the show? And sure enough, they did. He tried, you know, it was like a, I thought it was a pretty good balance of, you know, being serious and having some comedy in there too.
Where I mean, I liked, he was saying like, you know, you should check in on your AAPI friends and tell them they're so hot. You need to call your senators and let them know about the lesbian characters in Sailor Moon.
I was like, I guess I got to watch Sailor Moon and find out what that's all about.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to do some research on that, but yeah, we will do our patriotic duty and do that.
Right. But I mean, he does get serious a little bit where he says like, you know, people just go out there, do more, do what you can. You know, we, you know, it's exhausting for us Asian people having to kind of fight this whole thing or by ourselves. He's like, I didn't even want to do this or come out here and talk about this. I wanted to do the sketch I wrote, Gay Passover Bunny, but it was too smart for the show, I guess.
Yeah. And then Colin just gently says, Bowen, that was 20 minutes long.
Whatever. You're scared.
Yeah, exactly. That was cute.
I like that. But yeah, so it is, I mean, he does talk about it and it is a very serious and real thing that's happening out there to, Asians right now, but he's able to find the comedy in it a little bit. And also at the same time, address it in a very serious, real way. So,
yeah. I thought it was a good balance. You know, I liked when he said, you know, hey, if you want to punch my Asian grandma, there's no common ground there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that makes a great point. It's like, yeah, like some people you just cannot be reasoned with or you can't find a middle ground there, you know?
Right. So, I mean, yeah, it definitely hit home. I'm seeing it like being pretty popular now on Twitter right now. People are really like retweeting it. It really registered with a lot of folks. And so
yeah,
I'm happy
yeah.
to see that.
So,
but yeah, overall, weekend update. I thought it was a pretty strong weekend update for the most part.
I was mixed on it, but you know, I think it ended stronger than it began. Definitely.
Yeah, I'll say that. Like, I mean, Che came in with some home run jokes. That one about the real doll, I thought was pretty damn funny. And you know, Joe's had a few good liners here and there. Like, I so far at this point, I'm gonna say the weekend update is probably the strongest part of the show.
Okay.
So I mean, as far as like, we'll talk about it at the end, but like, as far as favorite sketches go, It's slim pickings. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
Speaking of slim pickings,
next we had choreographers. This was written by Kent Sublett. This featured like a Broadway show trying to get up on its feet again, and they bring in a new choreographer, played by Keenan, choreographer Richard Perquest.
Right, but what happened is one of the other people is like, oh, you booked the choreographer? Well, I booked one. I thought you weren't going to do it. So I booked, you know, Maya Rudolph's character. So they double
booked Tanya Katank.
Right, so
it turns out she hates Keenan's character.
Right, so they double booked these two choreographers, Keenan and Maya. And then it's literally just the two of them just chewing up the scenery and mugging for a good 4 minutes.
This is the sketch that broke me.
This is when you this is when you texted me.
Yeah. This was this is, you know, I don't like the sketches where Keenan is really encouraged to go broad and over the top, and this is obviously one of those. And
they ham it up like they ham it up so much. It's not suitable for Passover.
Yeah, this was rough.
Yeah. This is, I mean, good Lord. Look, if you're like one of those people that enjoy seeing Keenan and Maya just really, you know, chew the scenery and mug and ham it up, you know, this is by all means, this is your sketch. But yeah, there really wasn't much to the sketch at all, except for that. It's like the two of them kind of bickering, and then Keenan like, oh, I want to be with you, and then talking off to the side, and it's literally just everybody else in the sketch just kind of staring at them, watching them go.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you could tell this is one of those sketches they wrote with like a very kind of, you know, flimsy premise, and they were just
I would say so.
Yeah, and they were just
fair.
Yeah, they're just like one of those things where it's like, we won't write much because, you know, Keenan and Maya are pros. They can fill it out. We'll just give them this scenario, watch them go. The end. Sketch done. Let's do lunch.
Yeah. Let's break early.
Yeah, let's go home. Let's hit the bar. But yeah, but I mean, I feel like this episode was full of a lot of sketches like that. Like the Hot One sketch, where it was just like a thin premise, and they were just like, basically they were just like, let Maya go. Just let her do it. Like, we don't have to write anything funny for her. We don't have to write anything for her to do or to say. Just let her go. It kind of reminded me of like the few times when Robin Williams would host the show, and they would just kind of write a sketch that was like, you know, a thin premise. And because I knew Robin Williams would just come up with something better than they could ever write. And he would just like do whatever and just improv his ass off. And like, it seems like they did that here, where they just came up with this one idea and just, you know, hope they would make it more into something. And then they did not. And they failed.
Yeah, this was just depressing.
Yeah, this is like, I was like, wow, that's no.
Oh no. What? Oh, this is not good.
Oh no.
I mean, I thought it was summed up well towards the end of the sketch. Lauren Holt just went, this is bad, right? And Beck's character just said, yeah, we're in trouble. And I was just like, yeah, you're not kidding.
I was trying to find the GIF for that so I could tweet it out, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
It's like, that would have summed up this whole episode. Yeah.
I was
like, oofa.
Yeah.
Barfly Award? You want to talk about that?
Not particularly, but we're close to the end of the show, so let's power through.
Okay.
We had the 2021 Barfly Awards, which is given the cast a lot of opportunities to play drunk. Cecily played the host of the show, Missy Schutz, and I liked how after she introduced somebody, she just walked directly towards the camera.
Yeah, like part of me was like, is she supposed to be doing that?
Yeah.
Like
I thought that was cute. I thought that was funny.
It was pretty, it just caught me off guard because I've never seen that before. It just, part of the sketch is just them literally walking towards the camera and then leaving like a foot away from the camera.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This sketch is basically what the description says. It's an award show for barflies. And of course, everybody is acting drunk or is drunk. And it's just a bunch of drunk people giving each other awards and slurring their words. And, you know.
Yep.
It's a... Yeah, if you enjoy seeing drunk people being drunk, this sketch is for you.
Yeah, that we had awards like Wildest Claim, Most Bummer Detail.
It's the last Maya's
character Sally won that for that with My Husband's in the Jar, and she has like her husband's ashes there.
Was that a jar? I thought it was like the vacuum cleaner part, like the container that keeps all the dust.
Yeah, it could have been, I guess. Yeah.
And then she accidentally drops the vacuum cleaner container and all the ashes spill out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's like, oh, okay, well, I love you all, goodbye.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had Best Bar Hookup, which was Kate McKinnon's character, who, you know, she looks 60, but they say she's 41. She won. And then at the end, they just say last call and they turn the lights on. I wanted to like this more than I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting premise, but, I mean, again, it doesn't really kind of go anywhere, and it's just kind of, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's that thing where, like, seeing drunk people isn't that funny when you're sober, like,
it's
in real
like
life.
It's like a thing where you see drunk people, but you're still sober. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it... I mean, even the audience didn't seem to be too into it. It just...
No, I feel like the audience was just kind of worn down by this point.
Yeah, like this, and then this sketch was like, it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
That's all I got. I really didn't write down anything. I was wrote down, what is this? It's another. So 049, where are we at?
It's another sketch that they did. Yes.
It is a thing that they did.
Lastly, we had the Maya Ing, which was a film segment pre-tape, with sort of a takeoff on The Shining. They even said, you know, this was directed by Stanley Kubrick, which is kind of impressive because he died like around 1999, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he's been dead for a minute.
He's been dead for quite a while. He is so meticulous, he just finished this sketch.
The man can't be stopped.
And so it's Maya, like Andrew Dismukes as an NBC page telling her, you know, your ride's ready. And I like the concept that Andrew, because he's a new cast member, he also has to serve as an NBC page. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, like I like that line where Maya says, like, oh, I'm sorry they're still making him wear that uniform. You know, it takes a while.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's just kind of walking through the halls, reminiscing about her time there. She looks at a picture of Derek Jeter and she's like, ah, Derek Jeter, what could have been? She looks at a picture of Jeff Gordon. She's like, ah, Jeff Gordon, what could have been? And then she looks at a picture of Kevin Spacey and just dead silent. I thought that was cute.
That was a great, that was pretty funny. It's literally,
that's a good guy.
I'm actually surprised that they like mentioned Kevin Spacey, because, like, you know, I think SNL does that thing sometimes where when they had a guest on that, you know, is now, they find out is a bit of a monster, they kind of distance themselves and are just kind of play it off. It's like, oh, we never had Kevin Spacey on. We don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But the fact that they had that, and the fact that Maya just reacts with just looking at the picture, dead silence, looks away, walks off.
Yeah, that was pretty perfect.
Right. So then we have Maya walking onto the stage, the studio set, and then we see footage. She looks and reminisces. We see footage of her on her days in SNL, kind of posted on the wall, like in a kind of like a ghostly look.
Mm-hmm.
And then she notices a bar at the back of the studio, which she goes to. And of course, it's Al Smoffitt serves her a drink, a beer garita. And
literally a margarita with like a beer bottle sticking out of it.
I'm pretty sure you can get those at a few places, like if I remember correctly.
It didn't look bad. I wouldn't mind a nice beer garita right now.
Mm-hmm. So it's something like straight out of The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Moffat says, oh, yeah, this beer is free, courtesy of this person. And we see Tina Fey done up as a fictional SNL writer, Gloria Zellwig.
Yes. She was the first one to have the idea that women could talk during sketches.
And, it's controversial.
Yeah, she asks about how things are at SNL now. She says, you know, do people still have sex during the HR meeting?
And she's like, no, they don't. It's like,
oh, that's too bad.
They're missing out.
They're missing out, yeah. And we had Keenan come on as the Scatman Crothers character from The Shining. You know, he's like, I'm the cook at SNL. What did he say? He just like pours out chips.
Yeah, I take the baked Lays,
mm-hmm,
and I pour them in a bowl.
Yeah. I honestly thought that this would have been a better character for Chris Redd to play, personally. I feel like he would have been a better Scatman Crothers, personally.
I agree with you in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he would have captured the essence a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I think, you know, they talk about SNL, then they point out a bathtub off in the distance that she's never noticed before. She pulls back the curtain. It's Rachel Dratch.
Naked Rachel Dratch in the bathtub. Hey. Playing like, you know, the old woman in the bathtub from The Shining, sort of.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, I'm just here because the water's out at my place and I thought I'd come in and take a bath.
Right. So, and then, of course, they have some other nods to The Shining, like, you know, the blood coming out of the elevator doors, but it's just red wine because they can't have after parties because of COVID.
Right.
We see Kristen Wiig as two Gillies, the two twins standing in the hallway for a split second.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig wasn't there for real. They just took archival footage of Kristen.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. It looked. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah, and then of course they talk about how SNL is always a part of you, you know, and all that jive, and
right. And then of course the payoff is we have a takeoff on the final shot, the famous final shot of The Shining, and it zooms in on a picture of the original cast, and Maya is in there.
Right.
They did a nice job inserting Maya into the photo, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. I really dug it. Yeah, this sketch I thought was pretty good. Like, mm-hmm. I like the vibe of it.
This one.
Yeah, like I was looking online, some people were saying it kind of gave them like vibes of the old Tom Schiller shorts.
I can see that, sure.
It kind of has like a funny tone to it, but also kind of a serious, creepy tone a little bit. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we finally got to a sketch I liked.
And this was a sketch of the night, and it was the very last sketch of the night. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
It took us a while, but we got there.
It took us a long while. Yeah,
it was a long walk. It was a long journey, but we got there.
Yeah, we took the scenic route for this one.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, so yeah, and that's the episode, guys. If you can't tell, yeah, this episode was
we did not like this one.
It was a bit of a dud. I'm gonna say, with the exception of Weekend Update, the monologue and the final sketch, the 10-1, everything else was just like a miss.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. I was like really shocked. I was like, what happened here?
Really off show. And, you know, especially just considering they were coming back from 3 weeks off. You know, one other thing I should mention about that Maying sketch, our friend, Michael Coulton, co-writer of, Futile and Stupid Gesture, he tweeted out a picture of Tina Fey as, you know, the fictional writer Gloria Zellweger, next to a picture of Natasha Lyonne as the genuine SNL writer that she played in that movie, and you know they look exactly the same.
Oh, Ann Beats.
Yeah, when she was playing Ann Beats.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I guess that was based on her, but maybe they didn't want to use her name.
Or, yeah, but I mean, obviously visually modeled after Ann Beats, which. You know, of course he spotted that. So I thought that was cool.
Right. But yeah, like I'm trying to think. Cause like, I mean, the last episode they did was the Nick Jonas one, and then they had a few weeks off. And I know like, normally the first episode they usually do is usually a little off cause they're trying to get their sea legs back, I guess, their bearings back. But this episode was way off, way more off than I thought was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know if it was maybe, because they figured, well, we have Maya Rudolph in, and she just can automatically make anything better, so maybe we don't have to write as much.
I don't know. I would like to think that they don't consciously think, like, oh, we don't have to try as hard because we have a really good host. I mean,
right.
When you have a really good host, you want to bring your A game.
Right. I know that, but
this was an off show, just for whatever reason. And
I guess
It's too bad, but it happens.
I guess so. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, no. Now I got the SNL people mad at me. But I just, it was just not up to par. It was just
not up to their usual standard, I thought, which was, it was a shame.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be negative, but yeah, like I said, like, I like the monologue. I like the Weekend Update and the final 10-1, the pre-tape. I thought that was good, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like the mining and not too much else, honestly.
Let's see
what some of the people on Twitter had to say. Our friend Ruby the Rube says, the Kamala sketch was supposed to be the cold open, but was replaced with a game show after Dress. Thank God, because the game show had so much more energy and was a decent length, 4 minutes. At least Alex's Joe Biden impression is solid.
Yeah, it's getting there. A 4-minute cold open. Did you ever think you'd see the day?
Did not ever think I'd see the day, no. But wow. I mean, I wish it had been stronger. I didn't think the game show sketch was all that great, but
yeah,
I'm glad you liked it, Ruby. Nick Store says it was okay. There weren't too many LOLs, but none of the sketches were terrible. Agree to disagree. I had no idea the Hot Wings thing was a real show. I find Martin Short creepy. Okay.
I mean, I can see, like, there were a few times where Martin Short was hugging Maya from the back
uh-huh.
like, a little too much. I was like, oh, this is, he's getting intimate.
Nick Storr also says, I don't get the Jay Biden. Yeah, don't get that at all either. I did not mind Jack Harlow at all. Barfly, probably sketch of the night. And okay. Manette Moratti says, Martin Short made sense as a cameo, at least because they have the short-lived Maya and Marty show and the segment at the 40th anniversary prior to that. It was the segments outside of playing off of Maya that really fell flat.
Yeah, fair enough.
Then Manette Moratti says on another tweet, the Kamala sketch had potential, but ultimately fell flat. Alex's Biden character impression is getting there, but his voice impression is still W. Bush in my ears. He should stick to his own voice for it.
I got to rewatch that. Well, maybe I don't. But I think... George W. Bush, you might have she might have a point with that George W. Bush thing. I think.
Yeah, I feel like it's just we don't really have a handle on Biden yet, as you know, we don't have a comedic hook for him quite yet.
Right, and we have Bill Brasky.
Bill Brasky.
I still don't understand what NFTs are even after that sketch.
Yeah,
I can't even say it right.
No, well, I mean, I don't know if that was the point of the sketch. I think it was more just to express the confusion about what they are rather than explain what they are. But
so you don't think they were going for like a Schoolhouse Rock vibe, where trying to teach you and entertain you at the same time?
I didn't get that. I think it was more just like, what the hell is this? This doesn't make any sense. I feel like that's what they were trying to say more.
I just see it as young people found a new way to make money that old people don't understand.
Right. Right. You know, and Manette Moratti chimed in, basically think about exclusive digital art that's completely useless otherwise, except to resell. And yeah, I think that sums it up well. That's right. Pretty much my understanding.
Sounds like this new thing has legs.
Yeah.
NFT is here to stay.
Yeah. And lastly, Rye, parentheses Taylor's version, says the Maying sketch was easily the best of the night. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. And also, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but there was with the bumper photos, there was one bumper photo with Maya Rudolph sitting in like a red velvet kind of couch.
Yeah.
And like she had like a headdress on, and she was dressed all
like
white.
A flower.
Yeah, I think that was like a nod to one of her mom's Minnie Riperton's albums cover, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah, that was. That was cool. I saw that. Right. Actually, your sister pointed that out on Twitter.
Oh, she did?
Uh-huh.
Hey, thanks, sis. I believe it was like Adventures in, I'll find the album, but yeah. But I know they did that before, where she dressed up in overalls, denim overalls, carrying a ice cream cone, and that was like a nod to her late mother, Minnie Riperton's album cover, Perfect Angel. So
if you don't know who Minnie Riperton was, she did the song Loving You. You know, Loving You is easy because you're beautiful. And then she gets super high, which, yeah. Exactly. It sounded exactly like that thing that Darren just did.
Right. Yeah, you know, I took some classes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you go back and look at the bumper photo, she was recreating her mother's album cover, Adventures in Paradise.
Okay.
Which I thought was a nice little nod to her late mother.
One little thing that amused me during the good nights, I spotted that Cecily Strong was still in her like black sequin dress from the Barfly sketch, but she was just like in slippers. I thought that was cool. That amused me.
Yeah, that's nice. It's a look. It's a nice, comfortable look.
Now, I love it. I love seeing like a cast member who are still in costume from the last sketch they did during the Good Nights. And yeah, I really love it during the abbreviated reruns when it's like shortened to an hour. And the sketch that they're wearing the costume from was totally cut.
Right. Yeah. Like somebody's wearing a costume or something that was, like you said, totally cut. And they're like, come out and says a good night and dress up as like a hot dog or something.
Yeah. You're like, oh, hey, why is Kyle Mooney dressed as a cowboy? I don't remember that at all.
That's how he always dresses.
You're right. Right.
That's a streetwear. I don't know.
I would like to see more of that. I would like to see more of cast members just in random costumes during the good nights.
Damn straight. Let's bring that back, guys. Just get something out from the wardrobe and come out dressed like as an astronaut.
One of the most brilliant things ever was when one of the times Zach Galifianakis hosted And he came out, he literally shaved his head into a mohawk for the good nights. And he was just like, oh, so I guess the Mr. T sketch was cut.
Like, dude, that is a long way to go.
That is some commitment to a bit, man. And they actually posted behind the scenes footage of him hurriedly shaving his head into a mohawk during the break. I mean, that was amazing.
But that's like for a joke that's gonna last like literally like 5 minutes, if right. Not.
Yeah.
Like, bravo, Zach Galifianakis. Bravo.
Oh god, he needs to come back.
I'd be down for that. Where has he been for a while?
I don't know. I haven't seen a big thing from Zach Galifianakis in a while. I miss him. I miss that guy.
Yeah, Zachy G, he was like the hot shit for a minute, like when the Hangover movies came out, but now he's been kind of laying low.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, this episode, not great.
It was a thing that existed, and we watched, and now we've watched it, we've talked about it. We don't have to talk about it again. Yay!
Yay!
So next week, Daniel Kaluuya and St. Vincent, and hopefully it'll be better.
Daniel Kaluuya is a British actor. You know, mm-hmm. again, you know him from Get Out. He was in Widows. He was in Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Got nominated for an Oscar for Judas and the Black Messiah. It'll be interesting to see how he does this because, he's basically known for dramatic roles and now he's doing this comedy. And like sometimes that can spell disaster, but sometimes you can be pleasantly surprised and he can
go either way.
You can find out, oh, this guy's got comedic chops. All right.
Yeah.
And St. Vincent, I'm actually looking forward to that. Like from what I've seen of her, she's a really good performer live. Uh-huh. She can shred on the guitar like a mother.
I can do some guitar shredding.
Yeah, yeah. So I think her performance is going to be pretty solid. So this episode, I'm looking forward to.
High hopes. Yeah.
High hopes.
High in the sky. Something about a pie. Hopes. I don't really remember the lyrics of that song.
He's high in the sky, apple pie. Hopes to beep, 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 boop, boop, beep, beep, beep. And something exactly. About rubber tree plants, I believe.
If you say so. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll shut up now.
I mean, don't feel the need to shut up, but it's fine.
Yes, I better be funny because I'm incredibly stupid.
I've always said so. Yes.
Oh, guys, this has been a hoot and a half. And as always, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at SNL Nerds Show, and on Twitter, and follow us. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us on non-productive.com. Donate to our Patreon. Give us money for some of this hilarious content we're putting into your ear holes.
Yes. Yes. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Trumbull Comic. That's TRUMBULL and then the word comic.
And I'm at Darren Credible on Twitter and Instagram at DARIN Credible.
Right. So we will see you next week with another new episode of SNL, and hopefully we'll like that one better.
Hope
Springs Eternal, right?
I can't imagine it getting much worse.
Fingers crossed.
I shouldn't have said that and put it out in the ether.
You jinxed us now.
I apologize.
Now we're cursed.
That monkey's paw is turning in on itself.
Another finger has folded in on itself, and yeah.
Oh boy. Well, I done did it again.
Wah, wah.
Gilly.
So, anyway. All right. So, we'll see you then for Daniel Kaluuya and St. Vincent. We're hoping that's a better one. We like saying good things about SNL.
Yeah, we don't like... We take no pleasure in trashing it. We want to see it grow. We want to see it thrive.
That's right.
We're lovers of SNL.
Yeah, we're lovers. We're not fighters.
Right, we hold it from the back like Martin Short does Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, and hopefully a slightly less creepy way.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We make no promises.
We make no promises. Okay. Well, we'll see you next week for that show. And until then, nerds out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.